And I'm going to get right in here, shifting gears a little bit. Last two Sundays, we've been talking about possessing his promises and positioning ourselves properly in the kingdom before the Lord, right? And there's many, many promises in the Bible that the Lord's just going to do, right? There's nothing we got to do. God's just going to, right? When Jesus first came, the Lord's like, look, he's coming. There's nothing you can do. You can't stop it. You can't make it happen. At the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, right? God says, okay, it's time. Boom, get down there, right? When the Holy Spirit was poured out, there was not, all they had to do was wait. If nobody showed up, the Holy Spirit was coming, right? Can I get amen? There's nothing you can do. They just had to show up and be ready, right? Jesus coming back, right? The second coming, it's going to happen. There's nothing we can do. We can't speed it up. We can't slow it down. It's going to happen. Whenever the Father says it's going to happen is when it's happening. Can I get amen? But church, there's dozens and dozens and dozens, maybe hundreds of promises in the Bible that I have to participate with. I got one right. Praise God. Amen. Right? Things that we have to partner with the Lord. Amen. Right? And we get this concept all the time is if we're, and most of us, many of us here are parents, or we've all been kids, I think, most of you. And, right? So whether we've been kids and we grew up with parents that they're always making deals with us, right? If you clean your room, then you can go to your buddy's house, right? There's a promise, but there's a condition on it, right? If I don't clean my room, I don't get to go to my buddy's house. Can I get amen? All the kids said, we don't like that stuff. So we're switching gears a little bit, but building. We're building this. Can I get amen, church? This morning, it's probably going to take 2 weeks, maybe three, but we're going to, this morning's sermon's called What Are You Leaning On? I'll say that with me. Let's say it together. What are you leaning on? If you look in your bulletin this morning, there's our goal at the bottom right corner. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. We're gonna teach through Proverbs 3 probably next week. But Proverbs 3, 5, we all know it. Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. How many of us are good at that? Nobody, right? That's a huge, man, that's a lifelong goal right there, right? It's this constant adjustment. It's this constant, the Holy Spirit's constantly working, saying, whoa, buddy, you're leaning on yourself. You're leaning on your understanding. Well, come on, over here. I told you right here. Here's where you got to be, right? Leaning on what the Lord says about whatever we're going through, right? The Lord, in the scriptures are clear. God's given us everything we need for life and godliness, right? Peter says, we know the Lord is going to, he cares about every breath, every step, everything you're dealing with. He cares about your kids, about your money, about your marriage, about your single life. He cares about your job. He cares about your health. He cares about everything. And if we'll listen, he'll talk to us about everything, right? Whether it's in scriptures or in prayer, or sometimes the prophet's got to come around, right? Remember when I was young in the Lord, I've told this story, but we got some new folks. I was young in the Lord, and man, my wife and I went through this season where we were getting prophets who were just pulling us out everywhere. We'd go to conferences, we knew nobody. We'd go to a conference, and this prophet would pull us out, and he'd say, thus says the Lord, and he'd prophesy over us. After like 10 of those or something, I started kind of getting a little like, man, Lord, I must be really important because you're sending all these prophets, you know. And the Holy Spirit said to me, if you'd listen on your own, I'd stop sending them. He's pretty good at knocking you down a peg or two, you know what I mean? Right? It's like the Balaam, right? He's not listening, so the Lord makes the donkey talk to him because he's not paying attention. Right? Amen. So what are you leaning on? What are you leaning on? If any of us are, and where we're finally going, I've been talking about this for weeks, church, but we're going to get to the Sermon on the Mount at some point. But every time I was ready to go there this week, and the Holy Spirit just said, son, the Sermon on the Mount, which hopefully we know is Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Luke touches it a little bit, but Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is a Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon ever preached because it's preached by Jesus. Right? Better than whatever Paul says, better than anything Peter says, better than anything James says. What Jesus teaches us in those three chapters is just will change your life, right? So, but the Lord says to me this week, he says, son, because the Sermon on the Mount, here's the word, church, is counterintuitive. Apparently the building likes that word. Counterintuitive, right? This is the Holy Spirit just told me, counterintuitive. I heard it couple of days ago in my spirit. And the word counterintuitive just really means it doesn't make any sense. Right? Because our intuition is what kicks in. We look at something, our intuition kicks in. We say, okay, I got to do this, right? This makes sense to me. And then the Lord says, yeah, but like I said earlier, right? But you got to go this way. And it's like, yeah, but that doesn't make any sense, right? It's counterintuitive. What I think should happen, I think I'm going to deal with it this way. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Holy Spirit says, you're not going to do any of that stuff. None of it. Don't even think about it. Right? So the Sermon on the Mount, if we try to approach it in our own humanity, our own intellect, you're going to be offended like three verses in. Can I get amen? Right? So this morning, we're going to back up and we're going to continue working on how we're thinking and move towards the Sermon on the Mount sometime in 2020, I promise. Amen. See, think about this. If our minds think that we should do A, everybody say A, the Bible might teach us not only to do B, but it might teach us to do like flour, right? Or something that is completely, see, if there's like door one and door number two, sometimes we can make the jump to door number two on our own, right? We can be like, okay, I wouldn't pick that door, but it kind of makes sense, right? I can kind of see it. But when you got door number one that you just got to turn the knob and it opens, and door number two is like a fiery furnace or like a big pit of alligators or spiders or something, right? You're like, I would never pick door number two. And the Holy Spirit says, yep, that's exactly where you're going, buddy, right through door number two. Right? Door number two is a door full of suffering and difficulty, and like none of it makes any sense. He says, perfect. How many people want door number two? How many people are in door number two right now and you're trying to get out of it? Come on, there's another in the fire with you. Don't give up. Amen? Right? There have been times, I think we could all say there's times where maybe we're in one right now where the Lord is telling us to do something that makes zero sense. None. Right? Do this, and you're like, I ain't got the money, I don't have the time, I don't have the resources, I don't have the manpower, I don't have the wisdom, I never even thought about doing that before. And he's like, yep, I know. Get going. Right? And we're like, yeah, but, think about how Jesus sends his disciples out on their missions work, right? He tells them what? Don't take any money, don't take extra clothing, don't take this, don't. Could you imagine, church, if we sent out a mission team to some country, and they say, okay, well, Pastor, what are you going to give us? Nothing. Just go. He's like, when you go into some town, just find somebody to let you sleep on their couch. So I'm going to go to, like, you know, Africa somewhere and just with nothing. But that's how Jesus sends them out. And you know what happens, church? Everywhere they go, he's like, look, if somebody doesn't take you, shake the dust off your feet and keep moving, because you're going to find somebody that's going to let you in. They're going to give you some food. They're going to give you a place to stay. And you're like, yikes, man, we're Americans. We don't roll like that. We need to know what's going on before we even start this trip. He's like, that's the problem. You're Americans before you're Christians. Can I get amen? A little side note, we got to stop being Democrats and Republicans before we're Christians too. For crying out loud, man, I hope we got some Democrats come to our church. There's one in the back, praise God. Man, come on, church. Politics is not the solution, it's the problem, all right? The whole thing's a mess. We got to fire them all and start over. It would be better. Amen. Right? You just didn't even watch. I'm off. Come on, just hang on, man. I didn't even watch the State of the Union because I'm like, I want to throw up if I watch that stuff. All of them, they're all a mess. We got to pray for them. Amen. Because, church, you know what's going to save America is revival. It's good. Romans 12. Let's turn over there. I don't want to wander too far and get in a lot of trouble here this morning. Try to be nice. Romans 12. We all know this one, but let's read it like we've never, ever read it. We don't understand it at all. Let's read it like it's brand new. Can I get amen, church? When I read my Bible, I try to read it like I've never read it. Because you know what? if I open up to something, the Lord says, open here. And I open, I say, I already know this. He's like, okay, end of our conversation. Can I get amen, church? Because you know what all that thought is just pride. I already know this section. He goes, okay, see you tomorrow. Can I get amen? Chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy, everybody say this word. We hate this word in America. Sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual or reasonable, some translations, service of worship. Amen? Worship. I talk about this a lot when we teach on worship. Worship is not singing. Worship is not putting, worship doesn't start when I put a guitar on my neck, church. Worship starts when I'm obedient to God. And when I'm obedient to God is what fuels me to have something supernatural happen when I put a guitar in my neck. Can I get amen? Or pick up some drumsticks. I want to play drums. Verse 2. Is this a suggestion? Do not be conformed to this world. Does that sound like a suggestion or a command from Paul? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Everybody say mind. So that, right, here's why we need to be transformed, right? So that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect, right? So we were in Colossians last week, and what does Paul tell us in Colossians? To what? Learn what is pleasing to God. Learn how to please God in all respects, right? The Lord spoke to you this week in prayer one morning. He said, son, I'm getting tired of you thinking I'm here to please you. Yeah, there's actually a scripture that says that. I paraphrased it, but the Lord says, you're wearing me out with all of your sin. It's in the Old Testament, so I guess it doesn't count. That's a joke if you're visiting us. We love the Old Testament in our church, amen? Right? But see, church, the thing is like God doesn't need to change. Amen. We need to change. God's always right. If there's a discrepancy between what God thinks, what I think, I'm wrong. And the only way that you can change is to admit that you're wrong. Can I get amen? How many of you have thought, I'm not wrong, I'm doing just fine, and then you changed, right? You changed immediately when you thought how perfect you are, right? I have to admit that I'm wrong. I have to admit that, Lord, I've sinned against you. I've fallen short of your standard. He says, okay, we can work with that. Amen? Right? A couple weeks back, I said, look, church, the only person who can stop you is who? You. Look in the mirror. The devil can't stop you. Your spouse can't stop you. Your kids can't stop you. Your past can't stop you because that's been paid for. Amen? Your boss can't stop you. Your physical ailment can't. Your circumstances can't. The only thing that can stop you from fulfilling God's call in your life is how you handle all the stuff that's coming at you. Right? Shifting the way we see. Shifting the way we think. See, if I can see the stuff that's challenging me, and there's plenty of it. Can I get amen? Not looking at nobody. It's not you. Y'all are, I love you guys. You're not challenging me today. Here comes, right? I was thinking this morning, we had somebody I knew several years back, and they said, oh, it must be nice living that cushy pastor's life. I was like, wow, I guess I must be doing a good job if it looks like that. I was like, you want to switch? See if you can make it 30 days. We'll switch up. Right? Pastor Al and I were talking. He says, man, you've been through more stuff in your 9 years of ministry than most pastors have been through in 30 years of ministry. I said, praise God. He's making me strong quick. Amen. You know, I was thinking, just going to throw this out, church, right? That Gideon story, where I touched on Gideon just a little bit, you know, all those people that abandoned him, the Bible doesn't say he was mad about it. The Lord told me 3 years ago, he says, son, I was reading through Gideon, he says, son, I'm almost done thinning out your army. I was like, for real? You can't just, the word of the Lord's not like, I'm about to pack out your church. Praise God. He says, no, I'm still stripping it down. But you know what? That was the last step before Gideon experienced supernatural victory. He says, I'm getting you right down so that you got 300 people that are going to stand together with one heart, with one spirit. They're not going to be afraid. They're not going to be shaken. Okay, how are we going to take this army down? He says, get some jars and some candles and a couple of trumpets. You're an idiot. All right, that's dumb. That's the dumbest. No, they were like, okay, let's do it, right? Smash the jars, blow the trumpet. All they needed was people that are in unity. All that Jesus needs is 120 people in unity in the upper room. He says, all I need is one heart and I'll move. Can I get amen? Right, and so the Lord was stirring my heart about that this morning. He says, son, you got to guard your heart about getting angry because people leave or people move on. Don't get bitter, right? He says, I see something recently, the Lord said, the guy says, when God moves somebody out of your life, just trust them that they weren't supposed to be there anymore. You got no idea where they're going. You got no idea what they're saying behind your back. You got no idea what they're thinking. You got no idea what they're doing. He says, you just love them, man. Just love them. Amen. Man, that's hard, isn't it? Praise God. All right, so church, if I see this stuff that's coming at me, here comes a gym metaphor again, right? As tools that God's using to make me stronger. Tools that God's using to shape me, to dig junk out of my heart, to dig anger and jealousy and ego and all this junk. If I see everything that's challenging me as something that God is using to make me better, then I'll shift how I look at storms. Right? Man, every day I go to the gym, I don't go to the gym saying, yay, I'm going to feel great tomorrow. I'm like, no, I'm going to hurt tomorrow, but it hurts so good. Right? Man, I'm 40, almost 42 years old. I'm in best shape of my life because I got in the gym and I kicked my butt. And the Lord's saying, son, look, if you understand that physically in the natural strength, how much more in the spirit? The Bible says in Timothy, he says, look, bodily exercise is good. A little bit, it benefits you, but spiritual discipline, spiritual exercise will benefit you for this age and the age to come. Right? So then we love getting in shape. We love looking good in our bathing suits. We love looking, you know, losing a couple pounds off the midsection, right? The Lord's saying, man, you got to cut some spiritual fat out. Right? It's no good if I can throw up 70-pound dumbbells in a floor press if I can only throw up 5-pounders in the spirit. Can I get amen? He says, you got to be strong, man. I'm going to throw some stuff at you. You got to be able to plow through it. Amen. Is that all right? I hate cardio. Can I get amen from anybody? Anybody hate cardio? But you know, it's funny what I see in the scriptures. We see so much teaching like this from Paul. That what he says, there's one scripture he says, what you need now is endurance. You don't get endurance from throwing up 70-pound dumbbells. You get endurance from jumping on the barf bikes and riding them for an hour and a half. Anybody that's been to Full Circle Fitness, you know what the barf bikes are, man. Those things are nasty, right? It's that sustain. It's the sustainability, right? I'm not just strong, but I'm strong and I can keep it going, right? What did we talk about last week? That Paul prays for all the glory of God to come down and fill your heart so that you're what? So that you're what? You got patience and you're steadfast. The steadfast means the ability to endure difficult things. I'm going to keep plowing. It didn't die in a day. It didn't die in a week. I didn't break through in a month. I didn't break through in 6 months. I'm going to keep going because it's going to break. Whatever is coming against me is going to break. Can I get amen, church? Say whatever's coming against me. Come on, say it. Whatever's coming against me is going to break. It's going to break. You got to keep pushing. Amen. God wastes nothing. Can I get amen, church? God wastes nothing. Let's back up. I want to back up into chapter 11 just for real quick for a minute. Give some context here. Because if we look at chapter 12, verse 1, the first word is what? Therefore, meaning you got to back up, right? Because of something Paul just said. So let's back up just one verse. I wanted to back up like 8, but we'll just do one this morning. Chapter 11, verse 36. Is it up there? Say this with me, church. Let's read this one real slow and let it sink in. Ready? For what? From him. Who's him right here? the Father specifically, right? For from him and what? Through him and what? To him are what? All things. To him be the glory forever. Amen, or so be it, is what that word means. Can I get it right? And then verse 1, therefore I urge you, because, right, that's what Paul's saying, because from him and through him and to him are all things, because of that, I urge you, brethren, to lay your lives down as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, that this is your reasonable service of worship. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So let's just tear this down just for a few minutes here. Paul is telling us that all things are, let's say it one more time, what? From him, right? And what? Through him and to him. So from him is specifically the Father, and it means that there's nothing that exists on the earth, in the heavens, under the earth, that did not come from God. Now see, Pastor Al, I was remembering this. Pastor Al years ago, man, gave me a CD, a sermon. Remember CDs? That's how old I am. I remember audio tapes, and CDs are out of date now. Amen? Right? So Pastor Al gave me this CD from Michael Pitts when he was preaching on the sovereignty of God. And man, this is one of those sermons that just rocked my world. I had never thought about what this guy was saying. It was one of these things where I put this CD in my truck and listened to it for like 7 months straight. Over and over and over. I must have listened to this sermon 100 times straight. Because I was like, you know what this guy's saying? Even the devil's from God. Darkness is from God. Right? We had one guy in our church years ago, good brother. He moved with his new wife. They're moved down south somewhere. But I talked with him. He got real mad at me. I said, bro, look, you got to understand the devil can't create a thing. The devil does not have creative power. He's got destructive power, not creative power. So if you can wrap your head around that concept, that means that everything that exists must have been created by God. Pastor, are you saying that sickness was created by God? Does sickness exist? Was it created by the devil? Because you can't create nothing, right? That means that sickness was created by God. You want to know why that's real important? Because if there's something exists that God did not create, that means he's not in control over it. If there's something that exists that God did not create, he's not sovereign anymore. That means that the devil pulled a fast one on him and snuck something in that he didn't see. Can I get amen, church? You read through the Old Testament, there's some tough stuff in there. Read through the New Testament, there's some tough stuff in there, right? The Lord says, look, if you do this, here's what's going to, you'll be blessed, man. There's this covenant. Live this way, I'll bless you. If you choose to live this way, the Lord doesn't say, the devil's going to mess you. He says, I'm going to take care of this, right? Here's what's going to happen. Either I bless you or I visit on you the results of whatever your choices are. Can I get amen? You understand what I'm saying? Everything is from the Lord. He says, number two, everything is through the Lord, meaning that it exists because of the Lord. It exists, not only is it created because of God, but it gets its ability to function because of God. Why, church, you got to understand this. Why is this important? Because the reason it's important that we understand this is because that, you know what? Paul, let's think about this. The Apostle Paul talks about this thorn in his flesh. We all familiar with that, right? Paul talks about this thorn in the flesh. And how he describes it is this. The Lord gave me a thorn in my flesh. And this is what he says. A messenger of Satan. Who gave it to him? The Lord. The word messenger in the Greek is the same word for angel. Talk about a demon, right? God assigned a demon to Paul's life because Paul had this incredible revelation. He says, I saw things in the heavens that I'm not even allowed to speak about. It's illegal for me to talk about it. But the Lord says, I assigned this demon to Paul because Paul, to keep Paul humble. Can I get amen? So if this demon is outside of God's sovereignty, that means this demon could wreak havoc in Paul's life. But if God is completely sovereign over this demon, he's going to give this demon just a little bit of leeway, just enough to keep Paul buffeted from getting a little bit too full of himself. Do you understand what I'm saying, church? When the devil's done, God, there's not a fight that's going to happen. God's going to pull the rope and he's toast. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is this all right, everybody? Y'all a little quiet. You're scaring me. And third one is to him, right? Meaning, again, talking about his sovereignty, meaning that the devil could do his worst to you, that Satan himself could pull out everything he's got against you, and it's not outside of God's ability to turn it around and work it out for your good. Well, Pastor, you don't understand what I've gone through. You don't understand what I've gone through. We got to stop trying to one-up each other on how bad life's been. Can I get amen? Because you know what? Like that's the new song we sing, if your story isn't good, it's not over. God's still working it out. Amen? So let's keep going into Romans 12. Almost done here, maybe. Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed to this world. The Greek phrasing here, church, means literally the world means age. Right, not a physical place, right? It's talking about the age or the culture that we live in, right? Again, I've been around long enough where we've seen all these different clothing trends come and go and different music fads come and go and all these car designs, all this stuff, right? So that's in the natural, but Paul's talking about in the spiritual realm, right? In the spiritual realm, there's going to be these ages that transpire and different things will be popular and different things will not be popular, right? If you look at what's coming against the body of Christ now, there's a lot of pressure to cave into certain things. I won't say what they are. We all know if you've been around a little bit. Can I get amen? But those things that we're getting pressured to cave into are things that are clearly told not to touch in the Word of God. And the pressure for the church is like, yeah, but we want to reach people. We want to save souls. We want to reach out to folks. So maybe we can bend this one just a little bit. We can bend this issue just a little bit to make it a little bit more palatable to people. Do not be conformed to the world. Because you know what, church? The moment we bend to something like that, whatever we bent to line up to, is going to bend a little further. Just the second you just wiggle into it, you're like, oh, there it is, sweet spot. Right? Boop, it moves, and you're like, oh, man, I just had that figured out. Right? I don't really like clothes. I look nice today, but, you know, I mean, I wear the same clothes all the time, you know what I mean? But some people that really love clothes and they spend all kinds of money on the new, they just get their closet full of all the new stuff and then boom, it changes and you're like, oh, man, I just spent $6,000 on all this clothes and that's all, none of it's cool anymore just as soon as I get it all caught up, right? You see what I'm saying, man? Buy technology, buy a new phone. I got an iPhone 11, iPhone 12 comes out 3 days later and you're out of date already. Right? You can't keep up with it. So God's saying, look, man, it's this mold that is always changing. As soon as you figure it out, as soon as you're cool, as soon as you're relevant, boom, it shifts and you got to do something different. Right? Bible is very, very clear. There are things that we can bend on in the church. Can I get amen? What our musical styles are, what kind of clothes we wear, you know, what's the church building look like? All this, none of that stuff matters, man. Who cares what? As long as you're covered up, wear whatever you want. Praise God. Amen. We can listen. We can have a little country. We can have some rock and roll. We can have some hip hop. All the music doesn't matter, man. Play some hymns for kind of life. Who cares? But there's things in the Bible that are crystal clear. This is what God says about this, period. It will not change. And those are the things that we have got to turn our minds, as we see in the rest of this verse, so that we say, look, this is what God says, man. I don't care how mad you are about it. I don't care if it offends you. God says this, right? This is the second half of verse 2 in chapter 12, right? To be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How many of you, I think I asked this last week, but we got some new people. How many of you are saved in here? Raise your hand. You know the Lord. You said yes to Jesus Christ, right? I've said yes. I've put my faith in Jesus. Right? Probably almost everybody here, right? So if that's you, then what we're about to teach works. If you've never done that, what I'm about to tell you doesn't work. You got to say yes to Jesus first, right? You got to give your heart to Christ, amen? Because what we're going to talk about for the rest of the morning here is a work of the Holy Spirit. It's a supernatural work that occurs inside me, amen? So Paul's saying to be transformed. The Greek word here is where we get the English word metamorphosize, right? To change, right? Like a caterpillar transforms into a butterfly, right? God didn't design a caterpillar to stay caterpillar. He designed a caterpillar as a butterfly. So whenever God decides to make a little caterpillar, boom, I don't even know how they come out, whatever happens to make a caterpillar come alive. We'll not talk about that today. I don't know how they do it. But whenever a caterpillar comes out, God doesn't look down and say, look, a caterpillar. He says, it's a butterfly. You guys got to catch that. You're not a caterpillar. You're a butterfly. I'm a beautiful butterfly. See, man, God doesn't see you where you're at. He sees where he already knows that you're a butterfly, right? He knows you're a butterfly, so he's saying, all right, when you're done being a caterpillar calling around, man, getting your little cocoon action, and you're going to pop out with some wings and be pretty. Maybe he's just got you in a cocoon for a little bit because he's got to straighten some things out. Amen. See, we got some new believers in our church. They're out sick a little bit today, but I've had such a great time the last, like, 6 months with some of our, like, just got saved, brand new, and it's funny, man, because, like, they say stuff, and I go, wait a second, you're not supposed to say that. Like, in my heart, I'm thinking this, right? And the Holy Spirit says, they're a baby. Don't worry about it. Right? Pastor Ryan, who will be up with us in May, I had lunch with him this week, and he says that there was a Barna, which is this big research church research company. There was a Barna survey went out a few years ago, and it was a quiz that you could take, and the quiz was to determine your level of Phariseeism. And it was just questions, like A and B, right? Here's the situation, which one do you choose? And it didn't tell you which way you're heading until you got to the end of the quiz. So this went out to pastors all over America, and he says it was like 8 out of 10 pastors were Pharisees. I'm like, I'll skip that quiz, bro. For sure. You know, here's the thing about Pharisees. We've all heard Pharisees, right? Pharisees are basically like, you're so religious you think you're better than everybody else. And you're always telling everybody what to do. You do this, dude. Nah. Jesus gets down in the trenches with you and says, come on, man, I'm going to get my hands dirty. I don't care what everybody thinks about me hanging out with you. Can I get amen, right? Your teacher hangs out with who? Right? I'm getting a little bit more bold about where I'm going sometimes because, you know, sometimes you got to go into dirty places to find dirty folks, man. Right? I'm not going there because I'm like, I really want to go there. I'm going there because I feel pressed from the Holy Spirit to go. Get in there, man. You go find somebody who needs some help. Right? Can I get amen? But what Paul's talking about here, Paul's not talking about new believers, right? He's talking about if we've been in it for a little bit, right? That if we've been walking with Jesus, there should be some change that has occurred, past tense, and is occurring, right? Like noticeable change, sustained change, right? Not like I'm like doing the Holy Ghost hokey pokey, right? Like put my left foot in, put my right foot out, like in and out. Like I got a foot in this thing and I'm not moving, man. I've got one. It's good. I'm working on my other one, right? I'm getting in this thing. I'm standing up, right? I have changed and I'm not going back. I burned that bridge, man. We can't go back if we want to. Right? You never hear the story about Christopher Columbus when they came over? They landed down in Central America. I think that's right where they landed down there, right? I don't remember. School was a long time ago. I slept in that part. And anyway, but the I heard a story about him not too long ago that when they unloaded the ships, he told his captains to go roll back out in the rowboats and burn the ships. You can't go back. You got to make it work. Right? You look, we're here, man. So either do something or die. That's it. There, you can't go back if you want to. Right? And sometimes, church, we got to burn where we've been. Burn it, man. You can't go back. I can't go back there if I wanted to go back. Can I get amen? Right? Paul says again, so don't be conformed. Don't just melt into whatever everyone else is doing. Amen. Allow God to transform you, to change you, to equip you to be his vessel and his masterpiece in the midst of this age. But then Paul tells us, not just do it, but how to do it. You see it, church, right? Be transformed by the what? Renew your mind. So what's Paul saying? Simple terms. If you don't allow the Spirit of God to change how you think, you will not change. I cannot think like an old man and live like a new man. Jesus teaches about the parable of the wineskins in Luke. I love Luke's version of it. And he says that no man puts new wine into old wineskins because the wineskins will burst and both the wine and the skins are ruined. But then there's one little verse in Luke's gospel of it, and he says this, and no one, having tasted the old wine, wants the new because they say, oh, the old is good enough. You know what that looks like in church? It looks like, man, Pastor, I wish we could do it like we did it back in the 80s. Man, we saw such a move of God in the 80s, let me tell you. Okay, bro, that's like 100 years ago, man. Come on. Hey, I was alive in the 80s, all right? So, barely. Do you understand what I'm saying? We should sing that song next Sunday because, man, did it work today. Done that 100 times, man. Right? It's like trying to pull something from the past into the present and make it work. All right, the Lord tells us don't ever do that. The scripture is packed full of warning against that. Keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. No matter what's happened, move forward, move forward, move forward, right? Put your hands to the plow. Look forward. Don't look back. Look forward. You'll hear, when you're on your way, don't turn left or right. He says, you'll hear a voice, and he says, this is the way, walking in it. Boom, just stay forward. Focus, 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 focus. Can I get amen, right? Move forward, amen. Look it, I'm going to wrap this up right here. This is so good, man. Paul uses the word to be renewed. Everybody say renewed. Renewed in the spirit of your mind, right? Let me teach just for a few moments here. We'll be done by two. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, right? We all know what happened. The devil said that the punishment for their sin in the garden was what? That they were going to what? Die. Everybody say die. Did Adam and Eve die when they sinned? No. They stayed alive for a long time, right? But something in them died, right? God designed your brain. He designed my brain, almost everybody's brain, pretty much like 90% of us. Our brains are designed, okay, to do certain things. The smartest man that's ever lived on the planet is estimated to have used 8% of his brain. 8%. Did you guys know that? So the most brilliant man that's ever lived, right? Hawking is this guy now, right? In the wheelchair, that guy. The smartest guy that's ever lived, 8% of his brain. And you're like, did God build your brain to use 8% of it? No, I've taught this before. We got some new folks. Listen, what died in Adam and Eve was the other 90% that enabled them to understand the kingdom, enabled them to think spiritual things, enabled them to see beyond the natural abilities of man. Do you understand what I'm saying? What they lost in the garden was the connection to God, was the spiritual component of their mind. See, when God is saying, I'm going to renew your mind, he says, I'm not going to teach you how to do 2 + 2 anymore. You know how to do that stuff. I'm not going to teach you how to get in your car and turn it on and drive home. You know how to do that. I don't got to tell you to do that stuff. He says, what I'm going to show, I'm going to get into that 90% of your mind that was dead because of the sin of Adam and Eve, that 90% of your mind that gets you the ability to understand what the Holy Spirit is saying, to understand kingdom principles, understand giving, understand serving, understanding sacrifice, understanding the things of the kingdom. I'm going to breathe life into that part of your mind and make it come alive. Does that make sense? See, it's not new. It's renewed. Right? The Greek word church literally means to renovate. Right? He's not going to build you a new house. He's going to renovate the one you got. And if we think about renovating in the raw sense of the word, it means to say, another word would be to restore, right? So if I'm going to restore something, what it means is that whatever I'm going to restore has suffered damage over time, right? It has been miskept. It has been neglected. It has been abandoned. Can I get amen, right? If you look at a house that's not been taken care of, it'll just fall down. It starts sinking. The windows break. The roof gets all that other stuff. So a renovation is not like I'm going to tear this thing down and build something completely new. What it means is I'm going to take the bones of it and I'm going to restore it to its original design of beauty. I'm going to refinish it. I'm going to sand it down. I'm going to redo this thing and bring it back to its original design. One preacher I used to listen to, he said it like this: sin didn't erase your identity. It defaced it. It's still there. Your soul just got vandalized by sin. The devil can't erase who you are. He can just cover it up. If he didn't make who you are, he can't erase it. That's good news. So when we get the blood of Jesus, starts washing us up, it washes off all that graffiti, all those lies. It starts sanding down all the rough places in your heart. And God's saying, I'm restoring this thing. I know what this is supposed to look like. The devil didn't make you. God made you in heaven and then formed you in your mother's womb. He says, I know what you're supposed to look like. I see it. Right? You ever see guys that can build stuff out of nothing? That's not me. I need instructions. Then I still mess it up. But like my brother-in-law, man, that guy, dude, he just great. Like builds that. I mean, builds. I'm like, dude, how'd you build that? He's like, I see it. I can just see it in my head. Bro, can we like connect like with iPad cable or something? Just, you know, I can't do that stuff. But he just sees it, and he sees it all done, and he just makes it, right? It's crazy. But this is God. This is the work of God. Do you see what I'm saying, church? Right? God's saying, I'm restoring, I'm renewing something that's still there. It's just dormant. The Holy Spirit and the Scriptures are not trying to impose something. Let's stand up. I'm done right here. The Holy Spirit and the Scriptures, church, think about this, are not trying to impose something foreign on us. All right? How many times we've all, think about before you were saved. Some of us, we still struggle a little bit. All of us do. But think about before you were saved, when you first started coming to church. And you'd sit here and the pastor would say something or somebody would say something and you're like, what is he talking about? Right? You're like, man, I have no clue what this guy's saying. It does not click. You know why? Because, church, the Bible says that the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit. The natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit. So the reason we sit in church and go, what the heck is he talking about? It's because we're just sitting here with our natural mind. We're not having the spiritual mind kicked in, right? If you're saved, it's there. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. But every time I don't understand something, it's because it's just in my natural mind. It's not going to click with my natural man, right? My natural man says, do this, but the Holy Spirit says, not do that. Think about this. Can I get amen? So what the Lord's doing is restoring this. The Father never intended for us to live in sin. He never intended for us to die, to be sick, to suffer, to get divorced, to have miscarriages. Do you know, church, the Bible says that God doesn't want us to have miscarriages? And there's actually a promise in the Bible that says that if we will lock in with the Spirit of God and the will of God, he says there's a day coming when there will be no more miscarriages among my people. No one will die young. Read in Isaiah 65. It's an amazing, amazing promise. Amen. The Lord, when he put Adam and Eve in the garden, church, there was no suffering. He did not intend for humanity to suffer. Ever. He intended for humanity to crush darkness. Think about that. When he sends Adam and Eve, he says, you take dominion over the earth. Drive out the darkness. Drive out the rebellion. The devil was in the garden. He says, you take authority over that thing. Amen. That, my beloved, is what God is restoring to the church. Amen. Lord, we thank you for this time together. Father, I pray that this week, that maybe we get up a little bit earlier in the morning. Maybe we turn the TV off at night. Church, I'm right here. Right here. The Lord's been, come on, son. I got more. Right? And just give the Lord that extra half an hour, that extra 20 minutes, and just say, Lord, just talk to me. I don't want to talk to you. I want to hear. I want to hear what you have to say about me. I want to hear what you have to say about my marriage. I want to hear what you have to say about my kids, about my money, about whatever's going on in your life. Lord, talk to me. Renew my mind, God. I want to think the way I know I can. Right? Church, it's a shift from I should think this way. That's condemnation, right? I should think, but I'm thinking this. Oh, to I could think this way. I can think this way. Because of Jesus, I can think clearly. I can love people. I'm given the ability to do it. So Lord, help us to even shift that word, not from I should to I could. I can. I can do all things through Christ. Father, we thank you for this time together. I ask that you'd bless everyone here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys.